Hello and welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast. We're talking all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall. I own and run Evolve. We're a technology consultancy based in the UK but working globally, helping businesses that are on Pipedrive do more with the platform and the wider tech stack through implementation, consultancy and training. Today, I have the great pleasure to be joined by Dan Huru, the CEO and co-founder at MeetGeek. Now, MeetGeek is an AI meeting assistant that automatically video records, transcribes, and summarizes and provides key insights from every meeting that you have. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Dan for a couple of reasons. One, because I believe that all sales calls and internal meetings, where possible, should be recorded for a number of reasons. And I'm looking forward to find out whether Dan agrees with me or not. Offline, he has shared some feelings on that, so I'm looking forward to extract a few more insights there from him. And two, because Dan has raised two rounds of funding from Early Game Ventures in the last 18 months, I think, or maybe 2 years now. And it's a very exciting stage of the company. There's a lot of growth going on there. So looking forward to see and hear what he's got to share and what news he's got there. So Dan, without further ado, welcome. Please can you introduce yourself and MeetGeek to our audience?
Hi, Bruce. It's great to be here and great to meet your audience. Happy to tell you more about our experience and the lessons that we learned and why we are doing this. I'm one of the co-founders of MeetGeek. I have an engineering background, so programmer at heart, but then went to multiple roles. I was always passionate about productivity and automation. And we wanted to create a tool that is basically helping teams to improve their meeting culture and become more productive. So, we were three co-founders in total. And now, like you said, we are already live for at least 1 year. General availability of the tool and having customers and users and great feedback from the market, and we see a great trend, and people are starting to record their meetings, and don't be afraid, there are actually a lot of benefits for doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so tell me, what you said, got the three co-founders, you're the engineering background, what's the rest of the team look like there? And beyond, obviously, because you have been hiring. So what does the rest of the team look like?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, we were all three. All three, we have a technical background. Mm-hmm. I was also an engineering manager, and I was also in management roles. So I got a bit of a mix. The other two, Raluca and Julian, they are really more technical than myself now. We also have... a lot of expertise in AI and building products. We started with this, and it was an advantage. Yeah. All of us being in engineering and being able to develop a product, but of course the challenge was to complement with other skills and to be able to go to market this product. So with time we. We brought other people that are skilled in this area, almost co-founders, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I also went through a transformation in the last 3 years. So I don't know what I am anymore, but I am a mix as well.
You just swap the hats around when you need to, I guess.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's sometimes it's challenging, but sometimes it's really interesting to do. So it's... Mm.
Where is the business? What's that funding been going towards? Are you building out a marketing team? Are you building out a go-to-market strategy and kind of outbound sales with, which obviously you've got a very technical background as a core foundation of the team. Are you building that team out underneath them? Tell me more about that. What are you doing there?
Yeah, so right now we are in a scaling mode, honestly. We pretty much figured out a lot of things and we de-risked a lot of assumptions so far. I mean, we are closer to product market fit ideal. So we are in a scaling mode. We have channels that are working, go to market especially. we don't necessarily do outbound right now. We just do outbound for recruiting partners. And we rely a lot on a product-led go-to-market strategy, meaning that people actually find us through the website, through different content that we, useful content that we try to produce, and that is, you know, tailored for trying to be pragmatic and, you know, deliver something that is useful and, you know, in the context of the people using it. In terms of team, we are always looking for good, talented people to join us. It doesn't really matter what they do, as long as they are a right fit. I believe in long term, partnership with possible employees or possible persons to join the company.
Yeah.
So we are always open to that, but. The reason why we have an engineering background as a core is not just because chance, it's also because we believe that for a product like this, which has a lot of technology inside, engineering team needs to be inside. You cannot outsource this.
It's a core competency. If you're transcribing and delivering AI insights, you need to have a core competency in the business.
So for us, you know, product and product-led marketing are core components that we could never outsource, at least in a short period.
And in terms of the businesses that you serve, right? You've mentioned there a couple of times kind of product market fit.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you guys? Like, what markets are you serving? So obviously, currently based in Romania, but do you have team across the world? Like, where are you touching? Like, what's the kind of reach there?
Yeah, so we have people, we are a European company.
Yeah.
So part of the engineering team is Romania. We have people in Poland, in Italy, in Germany, and some small presence in UK right now. And we have customers from US. It's usually 60% of customers are from US, and then the rest of 40 are all around the Europe and Latin America and some other countries like Australia. So that's how, you know, from a geography perspective. So our sweet spot usually is, we actually have customers. We started with SMBs, actually, smaller companies at the beginning because it was easier to adopt the tool.
Yeah.
And then we gradually went up to bigger companies. And now we basically serve the whole spectrum of company size. We are not really a vertical focused company. We are horizontal, but we do have some sweet spots in terms of call types. So customer facing roles have this kind of call types. And MeetGeek is especially beneficial for customer facing calls. But also for internal calls as well, in a lot of project calls, status update calls. So there's a lot of value in that as well.
Yes, so two things there. I'll bring it up now in terms of the, I think every call should be recorded. And this came from, I remember listening to Matt Mullenweg talking, I think he was talking to Tim Ferriss about 5 years ago about distributed workforce, right? He's always been a remote first business. And he was basically talking about his agency. Every single meeting was recorded because it kept people accountable. So just like you don't lie in email, you don't typically lie if you know your meeting's been recorded, because you can go back to, oh, but you said you would do this. when you said there about the customer facing teams and internal facing teams, this might have changed as you're growing up as a business, but I just want to press on this go-to-market and product market fit. Are you talking to individual sales reps that want to improve their kind of performance or just recording their calls, or is it talking to the sales manager that wants to get more from their reps, or are you finding that engineering backgrounds, people that are running like project managers or product managers that want to just have a better understanding of, you know, they're basically a meeting, or they're in meetings all day, right? So when you say product market fit, or is it all of the above? It could be, right? But
I think the best way to answer this is we are living in a rapid shift of the market. So if you asked me this 5 years ago or 3 years ago, we had some basic recording and transcription apps, which were used by, we call them geeks or like early adopters, right? Like some people that just do some minor things or like isolated tasks. And then we went through, it started to become popular with the sales teams, right? Recording your call, getting a transcript, coaching you or yourself or others and so on. But now it's not only about that, it's becoming an essential, not just MeetGeek, I mean the whole space, it's becoming an essential tool that has to be included in the tech stack. So companies are actively looking for solutions to meeting automation or automate their meetings or make their meetings more efficient, because they realize that it's not just about salespersons in a call. It's about the all the people that are in the call, and it's also about the how that is related to the organization's productivity in the end. So we have companies coming to us and asking holistically about what does it mean for their company as a whole, not just sales teams. So right now it's a mix of people, right? We have like salespeople, they know what they want, they like it, they want to go forward. But then we also have like executives from companies coming and asking for a end-to-end automation or end-to-end solution to cover their needs. So that's kind of the market at the moment. And we believe that the future will basically be this, like having a solution that will help you in all calls, not just sales.
It just got me thinking that it is the ultimate word of mouth tool, right? So every meeting that you're, I don't know if there's, what other product is it where you, by virtue you're just talking to someone else, they can see it because there's your assistant sitting in the room next to you, they're not saying anything. So when we joined our meeting earlier today, not this, on another one, it actually logged in before you and said, hey, I'm Dan's note taker, I won't be saying anything, I'll sit here silent or whatever, right? It's the ultimate word of mouth. So in terms of just like Slack kind of grew as a product-led company, you know, so users and then build up from there. What is it too early to kind of start thinking about that, the snowball effect there, what you can do inside markets? Or is it really, how can you address the pains of what you're trying to solve for the end user, right? So for a sales team, how do we get the best insights quicker to the CRM? For a product manager, how do you get the best follow-up notes to every single person who's on it? Or where is your focus as a business? Sorry.
A funny thing is that MeetGeek is a great, you know, having MeetGeek in your calls is a great icebreaker. For introductory calls as well. I mean, we get this feedback always, like, you know, just people, instead of asking about weather or, you know, stuff, they use it as an icebreaker to exchange ideas about technology or, you know, other stuff. So you mentioned about this word of mouth loop, and well, you know, it's a channel for us and we are aware of it. The thing is that we are not focusing on, you know, squeezing it out. We're just focusing on delivering a better experience. So that includes insights, but that also includes how you interact with the software in your meetings. And our goal is to improve the experience, and if the experience is the best that it can be, then it, of course, it will also encourage referrals and word of mouth, and that's kind of like the side effect. So we are not working on the side effect. We want to work on the actual value that it brings.
So you talk a lot about meeting productivity, right? So, and that's because right now the space, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even your tool now, it helps post meeting. So with the, so it's a it's listening, it's transcribing, it's giving you insights. I can imagine a day where in meeting you can say, what are we, you know, what's the what are we getting at here, right? And it can summarize in meeting. I don't think we're there yet as a in the space, but I can see that. Is that the North Star? Let's find them, really drive down the value of what an AI meeting assistant can be.
Yeah, that's a very interesting development of this class of products, and being able to interact with an AI during the meeting and delegate certain tasks, that's like an interesting future.
Mm.
I would say we might get there in a couple of years. Mm. We want to pick our battles and like deliver the best experience, because the meetings is a big problem and a big space.
Yeah.
And since we are a young company, we don't want to focus on everything right now. So we want to deliver the best post meeting experience right now. But of course, like, that's a natural development. And the whole thing for us in the post meeting experience is to be able to automate everything. So my goal, and I like to use MeetGeek, although I'm one of the co-founders, I like to use MeetGeek so that I don't open MeetGeek anytime. You know, it's just there in the background.
It's okay. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that's the key thing to think about. If it requires me to click buttons and create stuff, then I won't be using it myself. So. We want to deliver that kind of experience for post-meeting.
And do you have any examples where you've had feedback from a sales manager or a business owner that started, you know, they've gone on that kind of meeting productivity journey and recording the meetings? Yep. Have you heard any feedback internally from your sales guys or customer service reps, or even directly to yourself, about how it has really impacted their business and decisions changed? And or do you have any data around that?
Yes, sure. We have a lot of feedback like that. So one of the most interesting one is, and we also have this mindset in the company, for internal meetings, general, I mean, it's not necessarily internal, for internal communication, let's put it like that.
Mm.
So if you record and summarize your calls automatically, you can leave optional participants outside the call.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you organize a meeting, you only invite the people that you know that are going to be active participants. All the others can read the summary on Slack or wherever the summary gets shared.
Yeah.
For us, it's Slack. We send the summary automatically on Slack. If I have a partnership call, I send the summary. Whoever is interested can read the summary and deep dive. They don't need to be in the call. So this, in, you know, on a statistical note, it usually saves at least 20% of collective calendar time. So it helps with the back-to-back calls. It helps with, you know, this FOMO of, you know, you need to be in that call because you might miss something, or
yeah,
you know, you want to catch up and you were in vacation, or, you know, things like that. So it relieves a lot of the pains around these two things, which is great. We also got feedback about improving the customer retention. You know, that we have at the beginning, people which are not used to the technology are usually concerned that, oh, what will the customer say if I record the call? How will they react? You know, we have this note taker. It's an AI, or, you know, scary AI. What it will do? But after the first one or two or three calls, or like, you know, even after a period, they say like, hey, look, the customer actually wants the note taker in the call because they want the recording. They want a demo. They want to make me accountable for what I promised.
Yeah.
So this drove customer retention and satisfaction for a lot of companies.
Yeah. So
we didn't expect it, actually.
No. I hadn't heard. So just to kind of repeat the other stat. So 20% meeting time was kind of cut, right? Because people, they don't have to sit in that meeting, but they need to get the executive summary, right? So that's a really good use case, actually. So in terms of the future, right, we've kind of touched upon it there. Kind of big sky thinking, but from your next 12 months or 2 years as a roadmap, what are you most focused on? Is it more integrations? Obviously I saw the other day that you had a a deeper integration with ClickUp as well. So obviously your marketplace of workflows is going to grow. So tell me more, Elizabeth, about that and what the future looks like.
Yeah, sure. Happy to do that. So yes, we are investing a lot in the integrations, in native integrations, and not just like creating an integration, but in the entire user experience on encouraging to adopt best practice workflows in your organization. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about connecting stuff. It's just about how you do X with MeetGeek plus ClickUp, or how you do Y with MeetGeek plus Pipedrive. And that's kind of like an automated workflow for you. And not just automated, but we are also investing a lot of effort in personalizing these kind of workflows and these kind of and summaries as well for your role, your context, your meeting type, the organization you are in. And we live now in a ChatGPT era, right?
Yeah.
But ChatGPT is very generic. We believe that, of course, it's useful, but you need to personalize this kind of AI technology to be able to serve you best and give you much better accuracy. And now I'm talking about transcript accuracy, but summary accuracy, workflow accuracy, workflow personalization, meeting summary personalization, this kind of thing. So,
I mean, you try to capture that when you took me through the demo, you mentioned that capture when you do sign up to MeetGeek, you'll say, okay, what's your industry? What acronym do you use? Because every industry's got an acronym, right? So, then it can learn that. So then it's tailored to and geared to your meetings.
Exactly. So imagine a not too far future, maybe in 6 months. I don't want to overpromise, but maybe that you're just going to sign up, say your role, and then we got everything figured out automatically for you. We know which meeting type you are in and what's the outcome you want from that meeting type, because not every meeting is the same. Every organization is the same. And the level of personalization automation we want to reach is something that we consider to be a next level in the market. And we think that this will be the most effective way of using MeetGeek to have a personalization there.
Yeah, I was just thinking there, the kind of, this is probably more than 6 months away in your engineering team, I hate this, but that kind of two-way relationship with your AI meeting assistant and your CRM. So for example, each stage of a sales process, whether it's the inbound to the discovery to the customer onboarding lifetime, each stage they may require different, it will listen for different keywords. So for example, in an intro call, you didn't find out when they want to start the project, you didn't find out their budget. So then in your meeting notes, you can actually have an auto follow-up that says, great to meet you to discuss X, Y, and Z. Out of interest, what are you looking to invest in this project? And that was auto-generated because there was a gap in the qualification questions, right? So that could be the two systems working quite nicely together. And as it moves throughout the stages in within your sales pipeline or customer success pipeline, you could pick out these things, right? So even, I guess, the tentative language of a customer might then identify they're likely to churn in the future. So how can we make them feel like $1 million? Surprise and delight, because they've had some negative words, more negative words than they usually have. For example, I'm literally just thinking on the top of my head here, but I can see a future where your AI meeting is connecting and talking between your CRM with the live data. And I know Salesforce is leaning into that with the Einstein AI and leveraging AI to get insights from your own data. So it's going to be quite an interesting world we're going to move into.
That kind of feedback loop is really interesting. And what is also interesting, and I want maybe for just a closing thought, is we don't want to just provide a tool. We want to provide best practices integrated in a tool, so that, you know, you might be a junior or you might be someone new in the space and you just want to make sure that you have some best practices in your meetings as an individual or as a team or as an organization. So we want to make that easy for you. Like, we just sign up and we'll guide you through how you organize your meetings.
This might be my biggest point for having sales calls recorded at the moment. Mm-hmm. How the hell does a new sales rep shadow? How do you know what best looks like? Unless you can see that was the whole world for the last decade. You'd sit in a room and I would always say to my manager, who's the best? And then I would sit next to them. I would ask them, you know, what questions do you ask here? How do you qualify this? How do I make better maps when I go on site? What questions should I ask? Whatever else. How the hell do you do that if you just get sent a notebook and a laptop to your house? Yes, we're moving back indoors, but maybe the top guys, because they've earned it, aren't in the office or whatever it might be. I think there's such an opportunity now for this types of where things are recorded, then having dashboards for the new reps to, okay, this is how many calls you have to make. This is the benchmark.
Yep.
These are the questions and what, you know, that type of, again, feedback loop within reps to the business to help them scale. I think that's, I'm glad you brought it up in terms of the training of the junior reps. I think it's one of the most important things that people it's not mentioned quite as much as it should be.
Yeah, I mean, coaching is really important. And right now it's done, well, if you don't use a tool like MeetGeek, you have to sit in the call.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking a lot of time for managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of MeetGeek and Pipedrive, we have spoke about, obviously, integration. Just how easy is it to integrate? Like, what is the, is it a native? Is it any coding involved? What's the?
No, so there's no coding involved. It's really easy. It takes 2 minutes to set it up. So if you have a MeetGeek account, it takes 1 minute to integrate Pipedrive with MeetGeek, and then you are ready to go and, you know, share summaries manually or automatically with Pipedrive. So we do have a lot of documentation on that makes it easy.
Nice one. Yeah, and we'll be sure to put links below for the for a business trial. You get full access to everything for 14 days, basically.
Yeah.
I'll definitely give that a go. So can you tell me, I mentioned right at the beginning, right, about your story as a CEO.
Yeah.
And with your founders and the different hats that you have to wear or you're having to wear. What has that been like, and who are you looking to? Who are you leaning on for advice there? Because it can be quite lonely if you don't have that kind of partner network or peer network at the CEO level. So who are you leaning on to there? Do you want to give anyone some praise and in that space?
Very, very interesting question. I have to thank my wife. She's one of the greatest advisors, actually. Because sometimes it's not only about like knowledge, specific knowledge or about expertise in how to do X. It's more about psychological, things you need to find the energy to continue sometimes. I mean, as a co-founder of any startup, right?
Yeah.
So family matters a lot. If you have like that kind of balance and that kind of understanding and someone that you can speak with about, just speak about it. It's not just finding solutions. That helps a lot. So my wife and my kids are also a source of balance for me.
Yeah.
I'm lucky because of that. Of course, friends also help. So outside family, of course, we do have some other startups that are in the same portfolio with our venture capital fund and or other startups from the region that we or founders that we speak to. And if you go through an accelerator, for example, that's usually a good startup accelerator. It's a good place to find other founders that are in the same shoes as you and have similar problems, and you can exchange a lot of ideas. That's usually the most helpful thing in a lot of the accelerators out there. just connecting with other founders, and you know, you realize that you have a lot of common things.
Yeah, you're not alone, right? So
yes. And that helps you remain persistent and, you know, remain engaged. And I think that's the most important thing to continue.
There's something you said there, and I've been thinking about a lot this year, basically. And you mentioned balance there.
Yeah.
And is it balance or is it a reset? And the reason I say that, because balance, when people talk about work-life balance, in my mind, when I used to hear that, it's like, oh, of course, it's the balance makes it feel like it's 50-50, right? When I think there's like a reset, what really relaxes you? What really turns you off or resets you? And having an identity away from work is huge there, right? And if it's really nice that you mentioned your wife and kids first, I think that was a really good.
Definitely, like work-life balance for a founder is something really hard to achieve. Like that work-life balance that is widely advertised. So, I mean, I don't really believe it's 100% possible.
No.
As a founder for a small company, and as well, I think for a bigger company, it's very difficult to disconnect entirely. I might be able to do it for one day or two days, but not more. Like even if when I'm in vacation, I'm still checking things.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out the most, to respond to critical stuff. Yeah. So it's actually not really possible to disconnect entirely. For me, it works personally. Like if I take one or two days off, it usually works and it gives me a lot of the necessary energy to continue. For me, balance is not like at 6 p.m. you stop doing things.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible in a startup as a co-founder.
Yeah. I don't think you. Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think the word balance is probably the wrong.
But having like a, so the startup journey is like really messy and you have ups and downs. It's like sometimes it feels like it's chaotic. So you need some kind of stability in your family life or your personal life, or you cannot afford too much instability in other areas. I think that's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect your productivity. So I'm thankful for that kind of like, I think that's a better description of what I mean by balance.
Yeah.
Because I have that kind of stability, understanding, someone to talk with, not necessarily, working less.
Mm.
It's putting a lot of hours, but having some stability, some kind of base station where, you know, it's safe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just kind of, and thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
It's okay. My pleasure.
On the business, who runs your social media? Because you've got some of the funniest on point sales tech memes I think I've ever seen. You know, it's like, does it get shared internally and then someone put like, what's, or is it just one person that's hilarious? Like what's happening there?
So you would have to thank Daria for that. She's the head of marketing.
Yeah.
It's not only her. There's a small team behind. It's actually girls.
Yeah.
So it looks like girls have very good technical humor.
Yeah.
and you have to ask her for the secret.
Yeah, we will do. And just quickly, where did the name Meet Geek come from?
I came up with it. It felt like it's a interesting combination of a geek who knows a lot about meetings, right?
So okay, yeah,
it's kind of like a geek who measures meetings and can tell you a lot of interesting things about your meetings.
Yeah,
and it's also it's a combination of two words which are similar.
And yeah,
I think it's easy to remember. Maybe a bit harder to pronounce, but it's easier to remember.
I think it's good, and there's also a connotation of it's welcoming as well, right? Because from if an AI is going to be in your meeting, it's a there's kind of a welcoming tone to it as well. But okay,
yeah, exactly, it's a more friendly face to an AI.
Yeah,
it's a geek. It's not an AI.
Yeah, that's it. So as we look to close here, I've got some quick fire questions, but they can be long form answers, right? So, you may have shared this before, but your favorite use case that you've seen someone use. So when I say use case here, so meet geek use case, and this could be in terms of how to tackle this. It's favorite use case by user. So it could be an individual sales rep, it could be a product manager. What's the best use case that you've seen?
So in general, this is very useful for customer facing calls.
Yeah.
It can be sales reps, it can be service business owners or consulting people. It's also very useful for recruiting interviews specifically. Interviews nowadays are kind of like sales calls, in a way. So I think these are, they are not use case examples, but they're more role-based examples.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And any top tips for people just getting started into kind of recording their meetings? Mm-hmm. And then secondly, onto that, any tips for seasoned pros who... Yes, they might already record their meetings now, but maybe they could take it up a level by adding an integration. You mentioned Slack before or meeting highlights. So for those just getting started, where should they start? And for those that, you know, could maybe do a little bit extra.
Yeah, so for those getting started, what I recommend is just signing up and trying the product internally at first, and then roll out to customer facing calls just to alleviate some of the concerns, and I think that's the best way to see the aha moment, right? To get to the aha moment and see if how much valuable this can be. Seasoned pros, the next level is to automate the workflows, not just having a transcript or just having some notes, and trying to automate the workflows and trying to integrate this more deeply into the organization and the team as a whole. It's not just about individual value, but it's also about team value and changing a bit the how information sharing is achieved within the team. I think that's the key aspect of getting this forward. And using a team using MeetGeek collectively will be much more faster than just some random individuals using it just for their own purposes.
Yeah.
I think that's the next step, transitioning from individual value to team level value and creating some mindset shifts in the team.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. And I'm just going to repeat the 20% saving on meeting time, right? So if someone doesn't have to sit on a meeting, why not just share with them the executive summary? So I think that was a really good share that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So
that's why I mentioned the team example, because it works in the reverse way as well.
Mm.
You can benefit as well from others sharing the summary with you.
Yeah. And from a Pipedrive standpoint, obviously most of our listeners, if not all of our listeners, are on Pipedrive. You know Pipedrive yourself. Do you have any feature requests that you'd like to see in the Pipedrive platform?
So we do get feedback, and we are always open to feedback on our features. We are actively developing the integrations and trying to automate the experience and personalize the experience. So we do have feature requests about additional options on how to configure the workflows. Mm-hmm. That's usually the case, and we are working on those kind of additional settings that you want to perform.
Nice, and the team are open to that. You can just message them in the chat in the app, I guess.
Yes, definitely. So we are all over the place. We have this chat messenger. We have a support email, and we have also a public roadmap where people can vote and comment. So we take all of these things. We have like an internal process when we take all of these things into consideration when we prioritize the roadmap. So it really matters if persons are giving feedback versus no feedback at all. It really matters for us. I mean, we have a vision, but we are really, we have a close relationship with our existing users as well.
Yeah, no, it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say thank you. This has been great. Is there anything in particular you'd like to touch upon before we sign off today?
Nothing in particular. It was a really pleasure to speak with you and try to give some samples of our experience and how this tool can be useful for your daily life.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me here.
That's quite all right. Thank you. And thank you for listening to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast. We're to all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive Marketplace. At Evolve, we're a technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally, helping businesses get more out of Pipedrive and the wider tech stack through implementation, consultancy, and training. If you found this insightful, please let us know what you think in the comments, hit like, subscribe, and share with anyone else that you think should be recording their meetings and getting their notes sent directly into their CRM. Dan, thank you very much.
My pleasure.